Well, 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 what's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of The Salty Show. I'm your boy, Timmy Two Times. What's up, everybody?
Hello, hello, hello. This is Heidi.
Hey, everybody. This is Jeremy, and welcome to our world.
Aw, shoot. What's up, Mr. Salty Saul? What do you got for us today, man?
We're going to talk about Creepy Joe. He wins South Carolina. Could this be the start of his comeback? We'll see. Coronavirus versus the anti-vaxxers. Who will win? And peace in the Middle East. But with the Taliban? I don't know, guys. I don't know. All right. We're also going to talk about the Trump train. It keeps on winning and rolling. This week, he had several wins in a few courts. And he did something out in CPAC that had everybody laughing. I'm going to share with you guys that video. All right. We're going to talk about all that and more on this episode of The Salty Show. It's another week, guys.
Yes, sir.
Heidi, what's up?
Not much.
You ready for the Heidi?
What do you got?
I found a new website called True Conservative Pundit.
Yeah, that's pretty old.
Oh, well, fuck you too.
Have you met Tim the point shitter?
No, it has like all kinds of stuff on it, and it's neat. So, of course, just some quick ones that are coming in. It's for today's... You're a jerk.
Yes, he is.
All right, fellow patriots, please listen to this short, inspiring message from General Flynn. They have a video out there, and he's talking about a legal defense fund that he's putting together, I guess. Exemplifies patriotism, courage, and the love of God and country.
Is it really a defense fund for what?
It looks like there. So
General Flynn, he was part of that whole
Ali Akbar
Russia collusion fallout stuff.
Yeah.
Huh? Okay.
General Akbar.
Oh, wow.
Alrighty then. An oasis in a world of fake news, making news make sense again. Good morning. We aim to start your day off right with relevant headline news that's happening around the world. Okay, so this one: Arizona, say goodbye to expensive solar panels if you own a home in Glendale. So they've got a...
What do you mean?
Yeah, exactly. So let's find out what they're talking about. Because I know that this has like been a big movement where they're trying to make it part of your utilities where you're not having to pay.
Huh.
So I'd heard about that before, but Congress extends a solar initiative through this year, trying to get homeowners to put solar on their homes. Power companies are fighting an uphill battle. They are sure to lose, and they're blaming customers who are taking advantage of massive government saving programs.
Yeah, I mean, the government is basically subsidizing. And I thought for a while that the government was telling the utilities that they had to produce a certain percentage of their power via clean, quote unquote, energy. And I would wonder, you know, APS has a nuclear generating station about, what, 30 miles out of town here? And would that be considered clean? It doesn't.
Yeah, pollute. But I think they want, you know, from my understanding, I believe nuclear is considered clean, but because it's nuclear, everybody deems it not my backyard and it's, you know, combustible. I think they want clean, meaning wind, solar, like that.
Yeah, I heard somewhere that France has something crazy like 58 nuclear plants.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you know, France isn't all that big. Yeah. Isn't it smaller than Arizona? And it's got 58 plants in it.
Well, you know, when the French screw up again,
80% of their energy is produced.
Yeah, I'll Google it real quick.
Nuclear energy.
Yeah, it's something crazy, right? And are we getting started on power?
Here's my question, though: is that why I always have a distrust when government gets involved in anything and it's subsidizing certain things? If this was such a good thing. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like homeowners would go out and get it without the need for government subsidies.
Yeah, I think a lot of the reason homeowners aren't doing it, though, is because it's crazy, crazy, crazy expensive.
It is crazy expensive.
Yeah, like we have family that put it on their roof and they're paying like $200-something a month for the next 25 years to buy it outright, to own it outright. And it's some like $40,000 or some shit. And so when you think about it.
So.
Yeah, it might be cutting your electric down. But
I look at it this way. Just like any technological advancement. When it came to flight, when it came to modern phones, the government wasn't there saying, hey, if you take flights, we're going to subsidize those trips because it's saving on, you know, wasting gas going across the country. You know what I mean? Like, or with the phone, the government wasn't there saying, okay, well, no, we're going to subsidize you getting that new iPhone because we want that to. It's like, if it works, the market will make it work. Why? Like I said, I just don't trust when government does that, because again, government will end up picking winners and losers. And when government picks winners and losers, that's when they're prone to corruption. Loses. Because because somebody pays somebody under the table and knows so-and-so who owns this solar energy company, and they're going to get the contract, or they're going to get the deals, or they're going to get this. And again, this is why I distrust when government gets involved with that kind of stuff.
Well,
something like that happen with Obama? Go ahead.
So I think this, but I think the whole Clean Energy Act, you know, I call it that. I don't know if it's actually called that, but I think a lot of those taxes, a lot of that was started under Obama, right? He funded a lot of that. And it sounded good in the beginning, right? I mean, that's why Tesla got their start by getting a, you know, thing from the government to produce electric cars, you know? And now you see how they're doing. But he paid it all back. Okay, I made my money. Here's it all back. But look how far the technology has come and how many people are in the market. And now that Tesla is, they're all moving, prices are starting to come down a little bit. Yes, there's the high-end ones, but there's also the cheap ones, right? So, you know, think about flat-screen TVs when they first came out. A plasma screen TV was like $10,000. Within 3 years, they came down to $1,000, because everybody,
there was no government subsidy telling you, none, hey, if you get... It's like,
it doesn't
why
work.
Is solar energy any and different? It shouldn't be.
I don't know
different.
If the I don't know if this is necessarily government. The government. Well, yeah, no, it says government savings program. So,
yeah.
Well, yeah. I don't know. If we're gonna go solar, then we're paying for the shit anyways. It's fucking ours.
But you should. But again, so that's the thing. When you first buy when you buy solar for yourself, right? When you buy solar panels, put it on your house. It really, for you, is a losing investment. It becomes a winning investment for the person who buys the house after you guys, right? Because they're going to get the house with solar panels because you're paying for it all. So that doesn't increase your value.
The family that we have that put the solar panels on their house, they can't sell it because of the solar panel contract that's on top of the
It's a contract on top of the house. It goes
right
with the
house.
So, yeah.
Wow. So like if you go through like Solar City and all that stuff,
mm-hmm.
you're leasing it from them. So that's part of the verbiage is that, once you put these up there, everybody assumes a lease. But if you buy your own outright and put it on, you won't see any of the true savings benefits. Yeah, your electric will be down, things like that. But you will never see the full value of that investment until you sell the house and whatnot. The person who buys the house, though, they come in with clean energy. They're not doing the initial investment on the panels.
Well, there's a percentage of the value of the house that would increase based on, if you put 40K of solar panels on your roof, the house, when you sell it, that may increase it, maybe 30K. I mean, obviously, you're not going to get the full 40 out of it. But it's just like putting in a swimming pool, right? You put in a bare bones swimming pool, you can pay 10 grand, get a bare bones swimming pool put in, and it'll probably raise the price of your house close to 10 grand. But if you were to put in some god awful fancy schmancy, waterfalls and sprinklers and all this other stuff, you spend $100,000 on a pool for your house, you're never going to get anywhere near that return on it.
Yeah. And I from what I've always heard is that swimming pools actually don't really help the value of your house because only a select few people actually want swimming pools.
I think it depends on where you're at. Here. I think here.
No, I mean, that's what I heard from realtors out here, but I digress. What else you got for us,
Heidi?
Right.
So I like this one. Italian town is so desperate for residents that they will now pay your rent for you to come and live.
Socialism. Where's this at?
There you go.
So
will they cook for me?
This idyllic village of Terrora. T-E-O-R-A lies at the base of Mount Cresta del Gallo in southern Italy. A short driving distance to the pastel colored fishing villages. Oh, so it's coastal. There you go. Fishing.
Yeah, there's a reason why nobody wants to live
and
there.
Wait a minute. Ready? And it's government will pay you to live there.
Yeah. There was a similar thing in Italy. There was a town, city, whatever you want to call it, that was basically selling houses for like $1,000, but you had to basically come in and refurbish the entire house within the first like year and a half.
So that's part of this article. It says, following the recent trend in Italy, communities to sell off empty houses for €1, which is equivalent $1.08, or even give them away in hopes of attracting new residents and reviving their dwindling population.
Yeah, so they did that in New York, right? Back in the early 90s, where a lot of the brownstones in some of the shittiest parts of Brooklyn, they had a deal. $10,000, you but get a brownstone in the city, right? But the deal was you had to live there for, I think, 5 years or something like that. That $10,000 investment turned into like a $10 million profit.
Yeah,
that's what this just said.
Who owned them before they... the city owned them and gave them away?
I think people foreclosures and, you know, they were drug houses. I think because they got so bad.
People just left in general.
They abandoned them, right? They seized them because part of, you know, and the areas were so shit, right? And
so, yeah.
That's what this little town is saying. Yeah, this little town is saying that the town before that did that, where they sold it for $1.08, basically, or €1.
€1.
The problem was people came in and they had to do it. They were tasked for extensive renovations. But so people came in, they did the renovations, but then they used the home for a vacation home. So they were only there temporarily. So this little town is saying, yeah, we're going to do this for you, but you have to live there for at least 3 years and you have to have and already have a minimum of one child. So they're specifically like they're putting specific
criteria. They're trying to revitalize trying to revitalize the town.
Sometimes like things like that. I mean, if it's a shit area and you can't do nothing with it, okay. If I got to get crime out, hey, that's not a bad deal, man. You know, for a first-time home buyer, it's a good investment. If you can help gentrify a city, why not? They should be doing that in San Francisco.
Oh, God. No one wants to live in San Francisco. Oh,
exactly.
My God.
In the Tenderloin, get them all out. Cheap rent. We live there, and we become millionaires, and, you know, we're part of the part of the wheel. Keep capitalism alive, you know?
Yeah. Tax the hell out of everything you do.
Keep hope alive. Anyway.
Keep socialism alive.
I think part of the problem they have in this little town too is because it says two babies are born every year versus the 20 that die.
It's just becoming an old community, and just like any old community, I mean, they need it's a pyramid thing, man. You need the workers at the bottom who are going to sustain the top workers. Mm-hmm. This is why they're trying to sustain their government programs that they've promised their citizens, and this is why Europe went to an open borders type system. They started accepting a lot of people because there were going to be new workers who were coming in, and they didn't realize that these people were going to be taking advantage of their healthcare systems, of all their social program systems, and not contributing as much as they had hoped for.
It's funny you mentioned Europe. I mean, I know it wasn't on your list of topics, but something major happened this weekend.
Go for it. It's a headline.
Turkey turned around and said, all those refugees? Yep. We're letting them through. Free pass. Yeah. Yeah. So they're storming like into Greece and all that. So like Greece at their border of Greece and Turkey, they put up all these barbed wire fences and everything. And the cops are just sitting there. And you just see them
they're
all
building
just
a wall. Yeah.
Well, because the Turkish government is just like, the Turkish and there's police there now, you know, and the Turkish government was just like, NATO ain't helping and they didn't pay or something. Here you guys go. They're all coming in. And he's we're not stopping.
Wait, Turkey accepted a lot. Were they Syrians?
Syrian refugees.
They accepted a bunch of a bunch of Syrian refugees with the promise of money and support from the UN
NATO,
or whoever.
NATO.
The money never showed up, so they said, "Screw it, go. Yep. We're not going to do anymore. You go live wherever."
Essentially, I know I'm summarizing a very major thing, but. Yeah, there you go. It's happening.
Greece is trying to stop them from coming into.
But these people, there's no war going on right now in Turkey. There's nothing that's happening. The people are just migrating to places in Europe. It's the same thing that's happening here, right? It's, you know, there's an influx of immigration that's going into Western countries, but the people they're not assimilating. If you look at those videos in the border of Turkey. It's majority young men. There's no families there. And they're yelling Allahu Akbar while they're throwing, what it was called? Those
Molotov cocktails.
Yeah. It's just like
Molotov cocktail.
But you know, Europe had this dream that they were going to be accepting, and it's not turning out how they are. And now what's interesting is Poland said, we don't care. I love what the guy, I don't know if he's the president or whatever, but some foreign minister representing Poland, he's getting interviewed across Europe, you know, and they're saying, yeah, but you haven't accepted any refugees. And he's like, yeah, so what? It's like, yeah, but it makes your country look as if you guys are racist. We're not. And who cares? I don't care. He's just like, yeah, I don't care. We're not going to accept them. And he's like, yeah, but then other countries take the load. So let them take the load. That's their problem. We're not taking them.
Yeah. Brilliant.
And Poland is one of the biggest.
Is he related to Trump?
Yeah, exactly. That's basically what Trump did too. Trump said, I mean, no, we're not taking them.
But look, I mean, we are at a point in society where, you know, we have major issues at home.
In our own
You know, within our own borders. The same thing with all these other countries. To sit there and take on more and more people where we have major homeless problems, major drug problems, mental instability. We have veterans sitting on the street. Like, we have things that we need to clean up here. When there's not a single person on the streets and everybody's educated and clean, you know, and things are flowing the right way, all right, then maybe you can look at opening your border a little bit more, right? You come here legally, no big deal, but we can't sustain it, what we have now. You know what I mean? I'm sorry. This ain't the 19, you know, this ain't the, you know, the new, you know, frontier. Yes, people want to be here for a reason, but try to make your own country better. You're fleeing to come here because of the freedoms, but it doesn't help everybody else in your own country. You know what I mean? Like, you come into the freest country in the world, but what about everybody else? What about where you came from? Don't you want to make your country great? Like, if you guys all got together, you guys can make a difference and try to not overthrow, but you can overthrow. You know what I mean? If it's big enough, you know, we've seen it before.
What I call it, it's the United States becomes the escape valve, right? The pressure release valve. Pressure doesn't build up. And so the issues don't get resolved in those countries. And everybody who could make a difference ends up coming here. And if we stop this and we let that pressure build up, there could be, you know, real change in some of those countries. But America is the last hope for a lot of those countries. See, I say this all the time. You know, immigrants are coming from countries like Honduras, El Salvador, Guatemala. And they're going. So, for example, if you're from Honduras, you're going into El Salvador, Guatemala, you're not stopping in those countries. You continue on to Mexico and you're not stopping in Mexico. You're continuing on to the United States where it's English. Now, these people could have stopped in any one of those countries because they share very similar language, food, culture,
everything.
But they don't stop there. Why not? Right. And so it's one of those things that if we're not honest, right, what is happening? Why does America work and those countries don't? Right. It's because the same thing. People, their governments have been telling them, hey, you know what? We vote for me. I will take care of you. And they promise them and they promise them.
Yeah.
And then they can't sustain it. And then they're going to live in poverty because, you know, there is no jobs. There's no this, there's no that, because the government now has control over everything, over the production of goods and services. And so they create this problem and then people would leave because, oh, we're going to go to America. Why? Well, there's free healthcare over there. There's free this, there's free that. It's like
free everything.
You know what I mean? Like, so we're inviting this stuff over. And it, you know, this is why it's important that, first of all, stop, you know, one of the things that Trump wanted to stop was, what did he call it? The women who come here have babies and then now they're able to stay here because the baby is now the anchor babies, basically. Yep. So they become citizens and now the mom can stay here because now the baby is a citizen. Trump wants to stop that. And I think that's a great idea. Because
how does that work? How does a mother get to stay in the country just because she had a baby here?
Because the baby's a citizen and they don't want to separate the family.
That's what happened.
Well, that's their problem. They came here.
That's how I had my dual citizenship.
It's common sense, Jeremy.
Yeah, but this has been going on for
a lot of people do it that way.
Yeah, my grandma, decades and decades because I was, that's how I had the dual citizenship. because I was born in England, even though my parents were both U.S. citizens and they're because of the military, because I was born on on the economy. No, I was born on the economy in England and I had dual citizenship. I got a British birth certificate.
Oh, you became an English.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
With the British rights, with all of those things. And then when I turned 18, I was supposed to choose because I carried dual citizenship, which I mean, come on. But so when I joined the Air Force, that was like my way of saying I'm a U.S. citizen and I'm going to be a U.S. citizen. Yeah. And it like basically scrapped my dual citizenship.
Yeah. I mean, like I know my grandmother, you know, my grandmother, when, you know, her parents came from Italy, had her. But as soon as they had her, they went back to Italy. Just made they wanted to make sure she had an opportunity. Yeah. Right. And not even so much her. Her family had an opportunity to come because now that she's an American citizen, she was able to, if she wanted to at any point, migrate over to America and bring her family. Even though my dad and my entire family was born in Italy, my grandmother was actually born here, went back, had dual citizenship. Right?
And they met in Italy and decided to move here? Your mom and dad? Or
So my grandmother was born here. So her parents came here, had her. Yeah. Now she's an American citizen. American citizen.
Yes.
They went back.
Okay.
Went back to Italy.
Took her back.
She wound up meeting my grandfather, had a family of six or seven, whatever, maybe even eight. I don't remember at this point. Couple of them died. So with the six kids, when right after World War II, like they stayed there all through World War II. They weren't allowed to leave. Grandfather was a farmer for Mussolini. So they say, and then he got arrested for cutting down a tree. That's bullshit. Get to something else. Nobody will tell us. But anyway, so my grandmother was able to come here with the, you know, my grandmother came with the first couple kids. Then my grandfather was supposed to come with the rest of them, my dad, his brother and sister, right? The three youngest was going to come with my grandfather. And so he couldn't go. He got arrested. He got held up in Italy. So my dad, who was six, my uncle, who was four, and my aunt, that was like 12, all got on a boat. Come to America without dad.
Wow.
Yeah, but they all had to get naturalized and everything, but it made the whole process a lot easier for them, you know? Yeah. But
I could have done the same thing. I could have said, nope, screw it. I'm going to stay in England.
Like you said, what you said, 12, 6, and 4.
Uh-huh.
We got 36 year olds who can't even pay their own cell phone bills and expect mommy and daddy to still do it. What a country.
I was just talking to my buddy about that where she called the cop. That should have been the headline.
Last weekend.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Anyway.
We talked about it last weekend.
We did. Forgot.
All right.
Anyway, we go with the headlines, Heidi. I know Saul's got a lot of things to cover, man. A lot of good things.
We can get into the coronavirus. We can talk about peace in Afghanistan or more Trump or Creepy Joe's. Let's talk about Creepy Joe's win. So
Sleepy Joe.
This is where it starts.
Well, let me Joe wins South Carolina. He won decisively. I mean, they called it early. I think they had 6% of the returns and he was leading by a lot. So they called it early. And I think everybody knew that's where Biden spent all his money on. He dumped all his everything out there. And so hoping that this is going to give him.
Why?
Because if we look at the delegate count, and last time I know we were struggling with this term. So if we look at the delegate count now that he won South Carolina, Biden is right behind Sanders. And I heard today that Buttigieg is about to drop out.
He announced
officially. He stopped campaigning.
So due to the fact that South Carolina has so many delegates, basically, Joe dumped all his money in there hoping to get the most bang for his buck, basically.
Yeah, he's trying to get a momentum. But based on what the numbers are looking like in all the other, because Super Tuesday is coming up on Tuesday, and that's where a lot of the states
on Wednesday.
I know, and that's where
Super Tuesday on Wednesday,
and that's where so it's in 2 days basically, and that's where a lot of the states are big states. California are going to start the clear winner is going to come out. Now a lot of people are saying it's going to be Bernie Sanders, man. And there's rumors now that Obama could come out endorsing somebody. Now, how terrible would it look if Obama does not endorse his own vice president, dude?
See, that would be interesting.
He's going to endorse him, but I don't know. He hasn't come out yet.
It's kind of interesting that he hasn't, because if he was so bad, why did you make me vice president? Because basically, by you not doing that, you're actually showing almost how, like, you're proving the illegitimacy of the VP position. You know what I'm saying?
Well, there's also lots of people like, that you meet and you think they're all right, and then you spend a couple of years with them. You're like, Jesus Christ, this guy.
You could have knocked him out in the second run. You could have got rid of him, but you needed his votes.
What would that say? But to your point, what would that say about Obama, who's, you know, getting reelected for a second term, and he's like, well, yeah, the last guy I chose was an idiot, and I don't want him. I'm gonna pick somebody else. Has that ever happened? Has there ever been a second term president who used a different vice president?
Who?
Yep.
Who?
In recent history, I don't know, but I know that there have been.
That seems kind of weird.
I'm pretty sure Franklin Delano Roosevelt, he served many terms, so I'm pretty sure he used different vice presidents during the time that he ran. I feel
like
there was
somebody. Well, I mean, I can understand like one dies or something, but.
Yeah. Well, he served three terms, so I don't think he chose
Roosevelt.
Never.
Yeah. He died.
I think he served four.
No, he can't do four.
I thought it was three. And the only reason why he stayed the third term was due to the fact that we were in World War II. And I believe he died in president.
He died during his think he died in his fourth term.
I don't. I thought he did three.
So that's pretty much.
There were no limits at that time. There really were no limits. The limits came after him.
Okay.
So it looks like.
Well, I'll take your word on that, I guess.
The first president to have multiple vice presidents was Thomas Jefferson. Mm-hmm. And then.
Yeah, but did the guys that he picked die or something? Or did he just say, screw it, I'm picking somebody else this time around?
No, it looks like he chose somebody the next time around.
Okay.
Four, yeah. He died in his fourth one. Mm-hmm. Go funny. Democratic Party, too.
Yeah, he was a popular guy.
Okay.
I didn't know Jefferson had a vice president by the name of Clinton.
His first name or last name?
Wow, I thought he did three
George
times.
Clinton.
Wasn't he a musician?
Anyway, but
James Madison also.
Okay.
Anyway, so Buttigieg is about. Apparently, he dropped out. Tom Steyer also said he's done out before.
He's done.
Who?
Before Comstock, exactly. Who? A billionaire. The guy spent, I don't know, hundreds of millions of dollars in his campaign. He could not even break 10%. Now, he came out, there was a video that came out. I think this is the real reason why he dropped out. He comes out, he's out of, I don't know if it was a fundraiser or a campaign stop, but this is Tom Steyer, the billionaire, the other billionaire in the Democratic Party.
Did he kick a dog?
The party of the poor, by the way, who, you know, the guy, now look at what he's doing.
Oh, he's backing that ass up?
Yeah. Oh, dear God.
Who is this?
A billionaire?
Yeah, it's Tom Steyer. He was the other guy on the debates.
Bye, Tom. No one's going to miss you.
He backed that ass though.
Look at him. He's so awkward.
His wife in the background dancing.
He's trying to be like Bill Clinton. Trying to be cool with everybody.
That's enough of that.
All right.
Yeah. So shortly after that video drops, he leaves the race.
Yeah. Well,
it's kind of interesting that Biden, you know, not, you know, what I'm about to say is with the interesting thing is about with Biden winning South Carolina and Buttigieg dropping out, I wouldn't be surprised if he winds up endorsing Biden, you know, making a deal like, look, you give me, you know, you endorse me. You become my VP. You'll be my running mate.
Probably.
If I win, you know, the thing, because I think he's the only one that actually makes sense out of all of them, to be honest with you. I like the Buttigieg. He was well-spoken. He served the military. I mean, he didn't make a fool of himself in that debate. He was the one that he's not screaming at people. He was asking fair questions.
Well, he was the cookie cutter. He had the same problem that Mark Rubio had. As soon as he got labeled with this, Marco Rubio could not get rid of it, which was that, bro, you're just programmed. You're just saying campaign speeches. You got this shit memorized. And so he was very programmed. And that's once he got that, what is that called? That label, he really wasn't able to get rid of it. And so I think that's what was his. Now, you might be right. He might make a deal with one of these candidates and say, hey, you know what? I dropped out.
You're going to have to, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're going to have to, because if that South Carolina poll, which Biden had 79%. Like from what I saw earlier, he had 79%. Sanders came in with a whopping 11. Buttigieg had 10%, and then like trickled all the way down. and Warren, I think, had 10%. And the rest of it, like, they combined couldn't even, you know,
right,
beat whatchamacallit, you know? They just, they're eating each other alive, man. We watched that debate. Look, the one thing that, you know, I was talking to a buddy of mine today, you know, and the one thing he did say, he's like, you know, the one thing he's, you got to give the Republican Party. A lot of them do not like Trump, but what they don't do is go out and bash each other, bash him. They stay united. They stay as a united front. 95% approval. I mean, that 5% that isn't is Mitt Romney. but when you look at these Democrats, all they're eating each other alive. They really should be running under the mantra together of going, okay, who is the best one out of all of us that can beat him?
Right.
Because
none of them can beat him.
No, but you have to look. The DNC has to, they're trying to get rid, they're trying to beat him. So when you put all of them on the main stage and they are eating each other alive viciously, and the things you say that everybody's hearing, now how of a sudden you're going to come back from that and go, well, I endorse that guy. He's a good guy. Dude, the other day you were just on stage saying you're a socialist and a bad person and this is, you're going to destroy America, but now, oh, I love Bernie Sanders. You can't do that now. You know what I mean? Well, so,
and see, this you make an interesting point, Tim, because see, the longer they better hope that after Tuesday, there's a clear winner, because the longer this goes out, if this breaks even, if there's not a clear winner, the longer this is prolonged, the more infighting that there will be. And, and again, they're saying that it most likely will be Bernie Sanders because he's get the most support. But Biden keeps making mistakes in the campaign trail. And one of the things that he did this week, and I'm going to show you this video. You know how they say, don't ask a question to an audience. If you're public speaking, don't ask a question that you don't already know what everybody's answer will be. Biden doesn't know this rule. Biden asks the question thinking that people are going to respond a certain way. But when people respond differently, you'll see how he tries to recover, but he puts his foot in his mouth. So he's going to ask the crowd how they did after the Trump tax cuts. Okay. And you'll see.
And this is people that voted for him, that are supporting him, right?
Yeah, let me rewind it again because you're missing this.
By the way, how many of you did really well with that $1.9 trillion tax cut that increased? Really good shape, right? Really changed your, well, you did. Well, that's good. I'm glad to see you're doing well already. And I'm good, but guess what? If you elect me, I'm not going to have your taxes are going to be raised, not cut. If you benefit from that.
What?
Wait a minute. Can you do me a favor? Can you put the video on the screen?
Oh shit! The video's not on the screen. I always forget to put the.
I said it three times and you didn't hear me.
All right, sorry.
But I want to just see the reaction to these people's faces when he goes, with me, your taxes are going to go up, not down.
What he's doing is he thinks the crowd is going to say, because this is the Trump tax cut.
Yeah.
He thinks the crowd is going to go, boo, you know, but the crowd cheers. And so that he has to recover. He's like, oh, yeah, you guys are doing great, right? Yeah. And then he just look at it. He's an idiot.
Yeah.
By the way, how many of you did really well with that $1.9 trillion tax cut that increased? Really in good shape, right? Really changed your. Well, you did. Well, that's good. I'm glad to see you're doing well already. And I'm good. But guess what? If you elect me, I'm not going to have your taxes are going to be raised, not cut. If you benefit from that.
Is he Trump?
He told the crowd, I'm going to raise your taxes when he tells the crowd.
He slipped it in the back. At the very end, basically, he's saying that. What he's trying to imply is that only the rich people
benefited, got
that tax cut, and they're the only ones that benefited from it. But I'm going to come around. I'm going to raise the taxes on the rich people. And he didn't word it very well.
Hold on.
Because I want to stay on this because Biden has a problem, and he's shown this every single time he's challenged or he's opposed. And this is if he wins, dude. This is how Trump is going to be able to shake him up and confuse him because, see, what he does is once somebody challenges him, Biden doesn't try to convince them. Biden doesn't say, hey, you know what? Let me try to win you. He's like, you know what? I don't need your vote. You can go vote for the other guy. And he's done this over and over again. He tells a person, well, go vote for him. Well, go. He doesn't even sit there and try to give it. And that's what he did here. You know, as soon as somebody said, yeah, I did pretty good. He's like, yeah, well, I'm going to tax you. Anybody who benefited from this is like, what? Now, all Trump has to do is use this soundbite and say, Biden is going to raise your taxes. Anybody who benefited from this, Biden is going to raise your taxes.
So, I always have a problem with when you got people of a higher tax status, you know, income status, saying, we're going to tax rich people. No, you're not. A rich person is not going to tax themselves, and they're not going to tax their friends. They're going to say they are, but somehow they wind up taxing us more, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, so, like, I hate the word, well, I'm going to increase taxes. No, the goal should be not increasing taxes. How am I going to spend the money's coming in from the taxes wisely?
Oh, yeah. Right, because we are already paying enough.
Yeah, everyone's paying taxes. Yeah. And now that the unemployment, you know, is at an all-time low, you know, for what all the numbers say, there's a lot of money coming in. So there's a lot of money coming in. Where's it going now, right? Okay, we're building military. Okay, but where's the rest of this? Why do you got to keep increasing taxes on people? You shouldn't have to. There's so much money coming in to pay for things. How about, okay, first thing we're going to do, we're going to take the salary away from, we're going to take the salary away from the congressman and go back to the way it was. You are an elected official for this, but you don't get paid. This is, you know, you're running for the good of the country, but you still get to work, you know, like how it used to be. No. They weren't paid back in the day. Or how about let's take away the your benefits, your unlimited health care. Let's take that away. Oh, no, you can't do that. Oh, yes, you can.
This is why Trump, in my opinion, again, is playing 4D. Scuba underwater chess, because so right now, I mean, and we're going to go into this topic, which is peace in Afghanistan. Now, if we look at the figures in Afghanistan since 2001, when we decided to go, because obviously we're going to go catch Osama bin Laden, the numbers, dude, 3,200 civilians have died, 4,200 fighters. I don't know, like 20 some hundred American soldiers. So, and this is the crucial number here, because one of the things that you hear the left saying constantly is, why are we spending so much money? Now, since 2001, there's been $5.9 trillion spent in these wars in Afghanistan, Syria, Iraq. And this is something that Trump has said, you know, we are going to get out of these endless wars. Wars that were supposed to only take a couple years, a few years. We've been there almost 20 years. And so that money, you see what I'm saying? And inject it into the economy and help out. Now, again, he's not doing this right now, you know, obviously it's a promise that he made in his campaign. He said, look, I'm going to do this. And now he's doing it. But again, those resources are going to be funneled to other places where people are going to feel that impact fairly quickly. And so now, one of the things, though, that I have a problem with and I'm concerned about is that we are saying we're going to make peace with a terrorist organization. And if we look at history, every time in history we've thought that we're making peace, it turns out that we're doing is just moving, you know, the conflict to a later date, and at a later date, it's going to be a bigger conflict. Now, they've made some agreements, which was, look, we're going to leave, right? Any military activities that we had, the U.S. and NATO allies are going to withdraw all their troops from the country within 14 months. This is a deal that they made as long as the Taliban stops attacks. So the question then becomes, okay, we pulled out, and a month or 2 months from now, the Taliban does some attack. How do we respond? And now that we're out, how quickly can we get back in and pick it back up? Now,
so you know how this goes. Yeah. You know how this goes. We're never we're going to fully leave, quote unquote, but we will always have, we'll leave a base there or something like that. You know, that we'll always have some small presence there that if we need to, we can redeploy. We never fully get out of anywhere. When they say we're going to pull back, yeah, if we pull back majority, great. But you know who you leave it up to? Leave it up to the UN at this point, man. You know what I mean? Like, all right, we have other organizations in place for things like this, but we're still the ones that have to go do, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
It's over and, you know, move on. You know, let, if they want to take it, oh, fuck it. You know what I mean? Make sure you get whatever natural resources you can from there and go. You know what I mean? Shit. Yeah, I don't know what else to tell you. Bring it back. Let them build up their own. We should have been spending 20 years helping Afghanistan build their own military and get all their systems in place.
I don't think they want one, do they? We've spent billions of dollars trying to get a military there, and it just, for whatever reason, it doesn't take, right? Yeah. Am I wrong?
It's just been a constant conflict, and, you know, they know the terrain better. You know, they were able to hide Bin Laden there for years. You know, that's one of it's another problem that we had with Vietnam. And when we're fighting wars where, you know, the difference between modern wars and wars, say World War II, is that in those, and we've had this conversation, in those wars, you know, the flow of information and how quickly news gets out of some atrocity that's caused by American soldiers, that news is disseminated so quickly. And then the Americans' heart to stay in this war changes, right? Because they see this. If people would have seen the atrocities that happened during World War II, and if we would have had the same type of journalism at that time, I think it would have been harder to beat, Hitler at that time, because there were atrocities that happened. So, you know, we have to have the stomach for it. We have to have if we do get into these wars, we have to know that sometimes there is collateral damage, there is civilian deaths, there is things like that. And if we're, as a country, if we're not prepared for that, if we can't stomach that, then it's going to be really hard to wage wars. And you know, and because what we're trying to do is prevent as little civilian casualty while trying to effectively defeat the enemy when the enemy hides behind the citizenry. It's, you know what I mean? Like, it's tough. I don't know what the answer to that is.
Oh, I hear you. It's not pretty. It's not pretty. You know what I mean? Because if, you know, you go into an area, you know, soldier goes in, you don't know who's enemy, who's friendly. And you take out a civilian and all of a sudden, like, oh my God, the Americans are killing civilians. It's like, yeah, technically, but it wasn't on purpose. You know what I mean? It's not like, man, you know.
War is hell, right?
Yeah.
You know, mistakes are made, the friendly fire. There's all kinds of scenarios, right?
Who was I listening? I don't remember where I heard this story. This guy, soldier, he gives this story about, you know, when he was out at war, and it was somewhere in the Middle East, and, you know, he had built a friendship with this kid, and, you know, helping the kid get playing with him or whatever. And then one day out of nowhere, the kid shows up and is pointing a gun at him, and he has to shoot because it's either him or that kid. And he shoots and kills this kid, dude. And it really ruined. I don't know where I saw this. I don't know if it's a movie or anyways, but again, it's a true story where this guy completely changes him. He cannot cope with what happened because after he built this relationship with this kid, and now he ends up killing this kid because this kid's pointing a weapon at him. And so again, war is ugly, man.
War's not friendly. No. It's not, there's no friendship in war. You know what I mean? Like,
so
you're
you know, so
I'm glad they're pulling out. A lot of those places
don't want us there. You know, and we, for a long time, look, I've took the approach. I was that neoconservative type mentality where, you know what, we need to do blah, blah, blah. But you know what? We've been there 20 years. We cannot be there forever. And so sometimes this is the right call. Let's give this a chance. And there's a lot of Republicans who are, you know, who are supporting this. And I'm surprised because a lot of these, Republicans were the ones who were saying we need to stay in there. But now with Trump, you know, he's got a different approach. He said this during the campaign trail. He was criticized by a lot of Republicans because Trump came out and criticized McCain. He criticized George Bush. And he said, hey, you guys led us into these wars that never end, and I'm going to pull us out. And that's what he's doing. So he, another campaign promise that he's keeping.
It's another campaign promise, but like you said, we can't be the world's babysitter. You know what I mean? Yeah. Because then it doesn't allow you to grow. It doesn't allow you to grow as a country. If we're always going in, bailing everybody out, we're the big brother, right? You're not stepping up and helping yourself. Like, look at Iraq. Iraq is actually, as we pulled out a little bit, they started getting better. Yes, there's still issues, still not 100%, but it's not, the government's still holding up to whatever it can. You know, they have their insurgents in certain areas that they still don't have, you know, full control, but government hasn't fully gotten taken overthrown. You know what I mean? I know we're still there, but they're allowing them to kind of do it on their own at the same time as well. So anyway,
right, so you know, we're going to move on to the next topic.
We're not going
to
solve that problem.
and which is the coronavirus. Now, I'm going to pull up this.
The corona hoax.
Don't get me started on that, please.
Well, no, we're going to talk about
that. I have something that I read on the coronavirus that happened in our neighborhood. So it kind of goes along with this.
Say what's going on.
Okay, so hold on. I got it.
So the Dow futures are apparently set to open up negative 300 more because of this fucking virus. All right, I'm going to curse on this one because you know what? look where most of it is. China. If the goddamn if China has an outbreak and that's going to destroy the American economy, I mean the world economy, that's crazy. That means you have too many eggs in one basket, number one. Number two, China knows this and, oh, okay, we're going to manipulate the shit out of our country. And the U.S., one death and a couple of things. One person has died. And we're, oh my God, this is worse than everything else. Four people die from the fucking flu every year.
So this was posted this weekend, over the weekend in our neighborhood. Mm. We have like one of those neighborhood watch apps, you know, and this was posted. Yep. How are you preparing for the coronavirus? Coronavirus fears wiped out $1.7 trillion of U.S. stock market value in 2 days as stocks keep sliding Tuesday. Parts of China and Italy are on lockdown. South Korea health officials are begging people to limit their exposure to the outdoors. Over 3,000 medical professionals are said to be infected. There's no treatment, and hospitals in areas with the outbreaks appear to not have the resources they need to treat all of their patients. Confirmed cases now in Sacramento, California, without any travel to China. I'm not into fear mongering, but I'm concerned, especially since there's an individual in my family that will have a harder time fighting this. In parentheses, the flu is terrifying too. I'm also concerned as it feels like people may be slightly oblivious. So perhaps I'll be the one to get people to talk. If you have not heard of coronavirus or COVID-19, take a moment, do some research. Decide for yourself if you should perhaps consider stocking up some extra essentials for your family in the chance they are needed. If they aren't needed, then no bigs. You'll use them at some point. Smiley face. Are you freaking kidding me, people? First of all, great. It's in California. Let's wipe that fucking state off of the map.
don't say that. There's good people over there.
On some homeless
people. I have family there. I'm teasing.
Did you see what they did in Utah?
But wait a minute. Trump's freaking amazing because look at what Trump is doing. Like, he's putting up some rules. The travel. Yeah, there's some travel things. There's some stuff going on. He's doing everything that people have been bitching and moaning about anyways with closing some of the
look
borders.
At that. Wait, time out. Look at that.
Tim, before we start, because I didn't get to introduce this segment as well as I wanted to. Now, some numbers, look. The virus right now, and I'm showing you guys a map, but for the listener, the virus has spread to 60 countries. Like you said, Tim, right now, the New York Stock Exchange is going through some things. Now, they're actually preparing for a possible coronavirus contingency in the event that it does become an epidemic. And another thing, Trump just established some travel restrictions on Iran, South Korea, Italy. Tim?
Mm-hmm.
Your family. Elizabeth Warren said she's going to propose that the funds for building the wall are stopped so that she can combat the coronavirus. We'll talk about that. Now, here's one thing that a cake, because again, these are numbers. Why was there no hysteria over H1N1? You guys remember this during the Obama administration's no one wanted to shut down the country, but now everybody's calling for a shut. Now, every election, this is another interesting number here. Every election, year has a disease. Mm-hmm. And I looked this up. This correlates to every year there's an election.
Well,
SARS in 2004, the avian flu in 2008, swine flu 2010, MERS 2012, Ebola in 2014, the Zika virus. You guys remember this, 2016, yeah, yeah. Ebola again in Corona. Now, is this a coincidence?
No.
I don't think so. Something's going on. Now, I'm going to show you guys another, again, World Health Organization numbers on the yearly flu symptoms is 1 billion seasonal flu cases are reported each year.
There you go.
650,000 deaths each year.
Yeah.
From the flu.
Yeah.
And we're crying taking the, yeah. about it. It's like, it's to me, again, this is another one of those Democratic, the news is just going to propagate this because they want to have Trump have a Katrina, right? George, remember George Bush, Katrina?
Yeah.
They want this for Trump. They're looking for anything that they can put on this guy that he's not handled well. But he continually is doing well. Now, the hysteria, the real hysteria and the misinformation propagated by the news. And here's an example, another example of how dishonest the news media is when they report this. Because one of the reporters asked Trump a question about supposedly muzzling one of the leading doctors that's leading the efforts from the White House to battle this coronavirus. Now, this guy has served under many administrations. I think back to Ronald Reagan, he says this. And I want to show you guys this video, again, of the dishonesty and how the media wants to portray this. And one of the things we love about Trump is he does not let those things slide when a reporter asks that. He calls them out on it, and he needs to.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I'm just going to ask you directly about this with regard to the flow of information. From the very beginning, you received a lot of criticism regarding that, in particular about Dr. Anthony Fauci. He is world-renowned in contagious diseases, and there were reports out there that he was being muzzled. Can you tell us that this widely respected expert, Dr. Fauci, will have every opportunity to tell us the truth?
Well, that's a very dishonest question, because he has had that ability to do virtually whatever he's wanted to do. And in fact, he was never muzzled.
Okay.
I think I can speak. You can speak. Why don't you speak to them? Very dishonest question, but that's okay.
The doctor speaks.
So let me clarify it. I have never been muzzled ever. And I've been doing this since the administration of Ronald Reagan. I'm not being muzzled by this administration. What happened, which was misinterpreted, is that we were set up to go on some shows. And when the vice president took over, we said, let's regroup and figure out how we're going to be communicating. So I had to just stand down on a couple of shows and resubmit for clearance. And when I resubmitted for clearance, I got cleared. So I have not been muzzled at all. That was a real misrepresentation of what happened.
I mean, again, why these people are not reporting the news. They're just trying to create hysteria.
Yep.
Now, here's another example again, and he needs to call these people out.
You said the other day in the cabinet room with African-American leaders, you've got to get away from politics. You were down in Charleston last night using the word hoax when talking about Democrats. Somebody now is dead from this. Do you regret that kind of talk?
No. Hoax referring to the action that they take to try and pin this on somebody, because we've done such a good job. The hoax is on them. I'm not talking about what's happening here. I'm talking what they're doing. That's the hoax. That's just a continuation of the hoax, whether it's the impeachment hoax or the Russia hoax. This is what I'm talking about. Certainly not referring to this. How could anybody refer to this? This is very serious stuff. But the way they refer to it, because these people have done such an incredible job, and I don't like it when they are criticizing.
So again, the media is saying, Trump, you're not taking this seriously enough. By you calling this a hoax, you're not being serious about this issue. And, you know, Trump, and you can go back and you can hear what he actually said when he used the term hoax. He was saying this is just the Democrats creating another narrative that they want to portray me as not being serious about this issue. And so he calls this is another one of their hoax. And the media is like, so you're calling the pandemic or this virus thing a hoax?
So go back to this map that you have up there, right? And this is what I've been saying since it happened.
And remind me to come back to this, because this is just another example when the media is concerned more about making Trump look bad than actually reporting news. I'm going to show you this after that. But yeah, let me go to that map.
Go to the map. So when you look at the cases, right? Yeah, they're all over the world. Yeah. 2, 5, 20, you know, 72 in the U.S., 23 in Canada. But you got 24,000 in China. Okay. What has been going on for the last couple months in China? Right. There was that massive protest in Hong Kong. Right. That was going on. Okay. Massive protest in Hong Kong going on. And yep. All of a sudden now this virus pops out because it was viral all over mainland China, in Hong Kong. The world was seeing what was going on and they were fighting. Now all of a sudden you don't hear about the protests. Second, what was going on in Iran? Protests. What's the second biggest case? Iran.
Yep.
To me, that's not conspiracy. That to me is very factual that they are controlling their people. They're unleashing this disease onto their people, because how do you stop people from revolting? You create fear, you create sickness. Now you got to stay inside. Right. There's curfews, no travel restrictions. Mass hysteria. Mass hysteria. Everybody forgets about the protesting. I'm sorry. Now, Italy is going through some shit too.
No, you're right, Tim, right? Because
no, I'm right.
I believe that there's a certain level of hysteria here now, but there is a real concern.
There is,
okay?
It might be.
Because when I was researching this, now the last pandemic that happened it was about 100 years ago, 19 something, at the end of World War I, I think, there was a pandemic that hit the entire world. And at that point, I think we had 1.7 billion people, and now we have 5 to 7 billion people on the planet. And one of the interesting things was that the pandemic killed so many people so quickly that it overwhelmed all emergency facilities and organizations. For example, hospitals, mortuaries, so what ended up happening was that a lot of places, a lot of countries had to basically do mass graves, dude, because they couldn't. It was just such an influx of people dying. And now, and how do you bury all these people? And so even here in Pennsylvania, there's places where it's just mass graves of hundreds of people that had to just be buried all at the same time because so many millions, hundreds of millions of people died. Now, another pandemic here hits. I mean, you could be looking at a billion people dying. Now, a lot of scientists and doctors say, look, it's not a question of if, it's a question of when the next one is going to happen. 100 years ago, we didn't have the amount of travel that we do have now, especially with the advent of you know,
the airplane,
planes, and all this stuff, and so the outbreak of a pandemic like this can be
spread a lot faster.
It's spread quickly, right? We also have to take into account, like you said, Tim, there's a level of hysteria. News organizations are there to make money. They're a business, right? And so they thrive when people need to know what's going on. And so it benefits them for people to be in a form of hysteric so that, you know, they can tune in and watch. And as they're watching the news, they watch the advertisement that goes along with it. And there's advertisement dollars, and it's a business. It's a business. That's why, you know, you'll hear the news say, tonight at 10, water's killing you. I've told you guys the story.
Yeah.
And then you tune in at 10 and you don't hear it till 10:29.
Yeah. 10:59.
You know what I mean? Like,
for exactly. 20 seconds.
If for 20 seconds and they tell you, yeah, watch your kids around water. And you're like, I thought water was killing me, man. Like, oh, God. So, yeah. So again, news, this is the news. This is what they do. So I get it. But we have to be vigilant on that point. But at the same time, we have to take into account all the numbers from every year of how flu kills,
yep,
how many people kills yearly, and where are we on this flu season.
Right. And so one of the things you also have to account for that nobody's talking about. Yeah, there are all these cases. How many people have recovered already? So I think I sent you guys something earlier in the week, and it was from, you know, like, you know, the numbers came out on like Wednesday or something like that with the cases, right? Obviously, they've gone up, but over 13,000 people, it's probably close to 15 now, 15 to 20, have recovered from this. You know, the ones that are dying are the same ones that die every year from pneumonia because they have some other sickness.
Yeah, exactly.
Their immune system is shit. They get something else and their body can't fight it. So let's take that into account, right? There's, you know, we have a lot of that. And yes, you have to, yes, if you have elderly people that are sick, fighting cancer, you know, they get something, their immune can't handle it. People like us, yeah, we get sick. Well, odds are we're going to fight it and we're going to beat it. We get sick every day, you know?
Yep.
It doesn't stop me from doing stuff. I still go out in public and go to events. I'm not going to stop. You know what I mean? So, come on. But to tank $1.9 trillion out of the stock market in the span of a couple days over something that we're not quite sure about, I have a problem with that because that is trying to go against this guy. And the hashtag on Friday, stock market crash of 2020. These idiots, what they were like, oh, see, this is what happens when you elect a guy that bankrupt five businesses.
What?
Yeah. And I'm like, wait a minute, how Trump needs to resign right now because he's wow. killing the economy. He's killing the stock market. I'm like, wait a minute. Trump doesn't invest everybody's money.
I thought Obama took credit for this economy, so he probably should take credit for this.
All of a sudden, the crickets.
Well.
Exactly. Hit the cricket button, man. It's crickets.
Now, I'm gonna bring this other stuff up, right? So AOC, Alejandra Ocasio-Cortez.
Who?
my favorite party. She was on one this week, man.
Alejandra, she's such an idiot. Ocasio- I saw some tweets.
Cortez comes out. And now, because President Trump appointed Vice President Mike Pence to lead this coalition. Yeah, we're going to get right now to lead a coalition that's going to fight this coronavirus issue. Right. So he appoints the VP. Now, Alejandra Ocasio-Cortez comes out saying this. This is her tweet. Mike Pence literally does not believe in science. It is utterly irresponsible to put him in charge of the U.S. coronavirus response as the world sits on the cusp of a pandemic. This decision could cost people their lives. Pence's past decisions already have. Now, this coming from the person who believes there's over 100 genders. Because apparently this scientific person does not know what the Y chromosome does. And Ted Cruz calls her out on this.
Oh, my God. Did you see that debate? Yes. Did you see that exchange on Twitter?
Yes. It was glorious.
That might have been the best back and forth I've ever seen. So
Ted Cruz challenges her and he basically tells her, look, okay, first of all, can you explain the Y chromosome? She responds with her credentials of being, I don't know how much is. Basically, and she links an article that shows she want some type of
Intel,
it? A county fair
yeah.
or
yeah.
some
no,
some
it
science
something
fair,
decent.
Some
yeah.
science
yeah.
fair.
science fair when she was in the fifth grade
from her school, and then Ted Cruz
was exploding.
Wait, hold on.
Congratulations on your science fair.
Do you have the link to that?
No,
I know I should have
no.
pulled it. Hold on.
When you guys get a chance, go look up AOC Ted Cruz exchange because this shit. And she's like, "Well, thank you, Mike." Oh, and she ends with,
"She seriously gave herself accommodations from a childhood science fair,
a college, high school, college,
whatever."
Because she's like, "I was MIT and into." Oh yeah, but what I left about like she's like,
"Here we go." So she responds right. So Cruz tells her. You know, can you explain the Y chromosome for you know that? And so she goes, sincerely, an Intel Global finalist, a former multi-year intern for Senator Kennedy, a cum laude dual major in economics and international relations, a former educational director for national organization, who to you is just a bartender and also your colleague. Now, she links this. This is her. She links this. And this is, again, in 2007 right here. This is what she's links. She won.
Science Fair Prize.
A Science Fair Prize. I am not kidding. This is what she links as her credentials for being science. And so Cruz responds with, hold on. This is Cruz's response.
It's glorious.
By the way, congrats on your science fair.
She didn't respond to him. No response, dude.
Oh my God. How do you respond to that?
So you know what I like about Ted Cruz? He's learning from Trump.
Yeah.
So all these guys were learning, like, wait a minute. We were trying to be very political and people's feelings, because they saw what happened to Mitt Romney when they got called out for calling people lazy. If he would have doubled down and said yes, he would have got elected president. I guarantee he would have done a lot better.
He
backtracked because he was trying to, he got caught out every time Trump says something. But now what they're all doing is they're not taking it on the chin. You're going to come at me with your sensitivity and, you know, your fallacies.
Your bullshit.
No. Come at me with facts, bro. You know what I mean? Come at me, bro.
And bring your numbers.
I mean, but that should go for them, for the Democrats as well, too. But these guys, they're trying to do this underhanded shit.
I'm going to show you one more video. We're going to close out this session and I need another drink. Is that cool?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Dr. Anthony Fauci, which he's leading this whole effort, and he's served under multiple administrations.
He's Italian, by the way, Fauci.
There you go.
Boom.
He gets questioned by the news. And again, the question is misleading. And so I like his response. I want you to hear this.
Let's bring in now Dr. Anthony Fauci. He's the director of the Infectious Disease Department at the National Institutes of Health. And he's part of the White House team leading the battle against coronavirus. Dr. Fauci, good morning. Thank you so much for joining us. We are going to get to the government's response. But first, I want to get your reaction to what we heard from President Trump overnight at that political rally. He referred to fears about the spread of the coronavirus as the Democrats' new hoax. Is this a hoax?
No, I mean, I can't comment on what you do.
So for the first thing I want to say is the news organization, you're there to do a service to the public, inform the public. They have a narrative, dude. Their narrative is the first thing we want to do is paint Trump bad. Let's paint Trump bad. And the guy does not play with them. He's like, look, I'm not going to answer this question. This is a news organization. What are you guys doing? It's like, and again, that's not even what Trump said. Like, if you go back to what he said, Trump is calling the Democrats this hysteria of this, a hoax. He's saying, look, we're going to attack this, but just understand that the Democrats are playing politics here. That's not what they say.
Yeah, I don't know what he said yet.
So I'm going
to
hear what...
I don't know what you said. You stopped it.
To what we heard from President Trump overnight at that political rally, he referred to fears about the spread of the coronavirus as the Democrats' new hoax. Is this a hoax?
No, I mean, I can't comment on what you just asked. I'm just can comment on what is going on, and what you just showed is that we're having now the beginnings of what's called community spread. And that's one of the things that one needs to be concerned about, because when you have community spread, it becomes more difficult to track down what the original source was. Because countries other than China now are having so many cases, like Italy, South Korea, Iran, we will then start seeing individuals in this country with community spread. In other words, no specific attachment to or connection to a known case.
So
that makes the tracing much more difficult.
Yeah, so you say it makes it more difficult, Dr. Fauci. Help us better understand that. How does that change our ability to combat this, to keep it from spreading further within the United States?
Well, let's take, for example, when people came in from China and they were immediately identified because we knew who they were beforehand. What you do is you identify, you isolate, and you contact trace, because you know what the index case is. When you have a community spread, someone appears, had to have been infected by someone, but you don't know who that person was. So then you have to backtrack and do all of the contact tracing to do the isolation and to get them under an isolation a protocol. That's much more difficult when someone just appears in the community and you don't know what the source of that infection was.
Dr. Fauci, there have been serious questions.
So you know why I'm laughing?
Right.
As I'm thinking about the coronavirus, and what he's saying, when you talk about isolated and everything, did you see that interview with that guy and his kid that were isolated? I think they just got back from China or somewhere, and they were quarantined for having coronavirus, right? He's on national TV saying, all this stuff, we were isolated, but we're healthy. And all of a sudden, and he's talking about all this crap, he coughs, right? His daughter is literally drinking water, right? And he's saying how bad it is. He coughs, takes his daughter's drink, water, takes a sip out of it on national TV and gives it right back to her, and she starts drinking it again. It's like, wait a minute.
Give me back a Corona. You, oh, Jesus.
But she was quarantined as well, right? Oh, okay. So you said you had it, you know, like, but oh my God, but like, he had it and he just, on national TV, on the news, as he's talking all this shit about Trump and everything, he coughs, grabs the daughter's drink, takes a sip, and gives it back to her after just saying he had coronavirus. Who does that?
That's freaking
you know what
funny.
I mean? Like, it's almost like, here, you guys go on TV and just, you know, everybody, they were all looking, probably going, oh, we fucked up. But anyway.
Bella cracks me up. I don't know if you pay attention to anything I've ever posted on Facebook or if you have me muted there, but a few weeks ago we were in Tempe at ASU so that Laura could have her first competition for gymnastics. This is in February. And we get out of the truck. We park in the garage. We get out of the truck because we have to walk and it is fucking cold. It's got to be like 45 degrees out or some shit. And we're freezing. And I look over and Bella's got her jacket up over her nose and her mouth. And I'm like, Bella, what are you doing? And she says, Mom, coronavirus. We're all going to have to go to the hospital. They find the humor of the insanity of how, you know, everybody is freaking out about something that is basically the flu.
Yep.
And but it kills me how they find humor. And
I know
they get it. You know, they've spent so much time around listening to all of us and just the fact that we're so open in our own little family that they, you know, they get it. They see the humor and the funny in it.
Well, see, this is the problem with the whole Corona thing, man. It's they get hysterical about it. And they don't give you the numbers, right? Give us the numbers. How does this How does this compare to every other outbreak? How does it compare to yearly events of the flu season? Is it any different?
But
what makes it different?
And no, and it's the same. It's contracted and shared the same stinking way as the flu and other things. They're like, you don't want to get it? Fine. Cover your mouth when you're coughing and sneezing. Have the people stay away from people around you who are coughing and sneezing and wash your hands. Hello. See, does this not sound familiar?
So I was watching a documentary, and this documentary actually came out last year on, you know, and they were talking about how the world is preparing for the next pandemic. And again, this is last year. And, you know, so they're giving these numbers, right? These statistics of what's happening. And again, this was in 2019, and now it's like, okay, so how does this compare to last year? Now, one of the things that the documentary covers was how anti-vaxxers are so opposed to any form of vaccination, and not just for flu, but just any measles, all these primitive forms of diseases that the anti-vaxxers are trying to fight against. And one of the interesting points that they make that I hadn't thought about this. And again, as somebody who distrusts government, they made a point, and I researched this, Heidi, and I couldn't get a valid answer. And this is, I might bring this up. Let me pose it to you. So one of the questions that they pose that doesn't make sense to me is, why the vaccination community, the doctors, scientists who say you need to get vaccinated so that the spread of X is minimal. Okay.
Right.
If we're vaccinating kids, how does a non-vaccinated kid put you at risk? If you're vaccinated, isn't your purpose of being vaccinated
to prevent?
For that very reason.
Yeah.
So then if I don't want to get vaccinated and I'm putting myself at risk, how is that hurting you?
Right. Yeah,
And I looked this up and I could not get a valid response. And a lot of the response was, well, vaccinations don't work 100% of the time.
Right.
Meaning, let's say they work 50% of the time.
Yeah.
Meaning that 50% of the population gets it, 50% It can fight it, but the other 50%, they end up getting the flu either way.
Right.
So even vaccination is not effective. So then the anti-vaxxers let me pose this question to Jeremy. Jeremy.
Yes, sir.
So when I was doing, because I did some research on this whole vaccination stuff. Okay. And there's a strong anti-vaxxer community. And what's unique is it has created an alliance between, and so these anti-vaxxers are those hippies. You know what I mean? Like, I'm serious. This is in Oregon, Washington State. A lot of the anti-vaxxer communities are out there. They don't want to vaccinate their kids because they feel like this causes certain, for example, with autism and things like that.
Yeah.
So the anti-vaxxer community is coming out and saying, look, we don't want to vaccinate our kids because we feel that it's causing these things. We just don't want to be a part of that. Now, one of the questions that they posed and I haven't been able to get an answer to is this, and I want to know your opinion, Jeremy. If vaccinations are there so that if somebody comes to you who has this virus and you're vaccinated, your immune system can handle that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what is it hurt you if I'm not vaccinated?
So I think,
why do you want to force vaccination on me?
I think the problem isn't so much that the diseases and the viruses start to mutate and they start to change. And that's was part of the problem.
Right. Like if it mutates enough, the vaccination is no longer effective against it.
And I think that was part of the problem with the flu, right? Is because some people get the vaccination for the flu, some people don't. And back in the day, the flu shot was just a flu shot because it was the flu. Now you have people that don't want to get it and that do get it. And prime example of this, Laura. Laura had the flu. She had her vaccinations for the flu. Turned out she has the different strand of the flu that mutated,
right?
That mutated years and years ago. But you see that, like, they had that. What was it? Polio?
My question is, how does, if I choose not to vaccinate myself, let's just say me, there's the five of us.
Sure.
Four of us. Okay. And now the four of us are in this community and three of you say, we want to vaccinate ourselves against this. And I say, no, I don't want to. Now, aren't you vaccinating yourself so that you can protect yourself against potentially the spread of disease? Now, if I choose not to vaccinate myself, how is that affecting you? I'm making a choice for myself. It shouldn't affect you. So then why create legislation? Because this is what's happening. Like Oregon created this law saying, hey, if your kids don't get vaccinated, they can't go to public schools.
That's across the nation.
Yeah, Arizona's already that way.
Yeah, that's across the nation. A lot of the states are that way where there's certain things.
Answer me this question. Look, I'm not an anti-vaxxer, but this is one of those things that they presented that I think has some validity to it. And I have not heard a great response on, which is, if I choose not to be vaccinated, how is that affecting you, the rest of you?
I believe that the argument, or the, I guess, would be a turning point, is that if enough people don't get vaccinated, there's another severity or another problem that occurs. I've heard the argument before, and basically the argument is if 80%, 90% or whatever the people are getting vaccinated against a disease, the 10% that don't isn't a problem. But once that number starts to decrease I forget exactly, let's just say it's 50%, right? Once 50% of the people stop getting vaccinated, I guess it runs into an area of becoming a possible pandemic, right? Because not so many people are not, because with the 90% of the people vaccinated against the disease, they're subjected to the disease, but it doesn't take hold. So that chain dies there. But when you have a large percentage of the population that's not vaccinated, that chain just keeps growing and growing and growing and growing and growing.
So,
and I have to agree with you, Nelson. I have to agree with you too, Nelson, to an extent, because, all right, how many of us have had chicken pox?
I have.
I had it. Did you have chicken pox as a kid?
I had it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now they have a vaccine for it. And I did not vaccinate. Right. I'm like 99.9% sure I did not get the girls the vaccine for chickenpox. If you're like, well, why didn't you? Because I want them to have chickenpox, because it builds an immunity to something later in their adult life called shingles that's fucking deadly. And I want that exposure to be there.
This is okay. So this is another thing, right? Is that the over-vaccinization of societies does create an immune system that may not be prepared to these primitive type or medieval type diseases.
Right.
And
they evolve.
I don't know.
They mutate, they evolve, they change.
People forget.
The avian flu evolves each year.
Exactly.
Like each year, it's a new strain. It's a new form.
More than one. So this whole flu shot that you get, basically, they go to China every year and they figure out what flu is the biggest in China, and they do vaccines for it, and they spread it out throughout the rest of the world because there's a history of the propagation
Did
that way.
Did you just listen to what you just said? They go to China.
Yes. It's true, though. Look, I know, but again, we go to China.
Right. Yeah.
You can't trust anything over there.
Well, they got 3 billion people. So basically, they go to China. They find the most common flu there because there's multiple variants out there. I'm sure each year it's different, but they find the most common. They create a vaccine. They ship it out to the rest of the Western world and said, we're going to vaccinate you against this flu. Well, that's great. But there's 3, 4, 5, 6 other variants of the flu spreading throughout the world that vaccine may or may not have any effect on.
Let me tell you something. I've never gotten a flu shot, and I probably get the flu every year, and I always just say it's a really bad cold, but I'm pretty sure I get the flu every year. But,
no, a bad cold is different than the flu.
No. I mean, like, I get...
You're throwing up, you got diarrhea.
No, I don't do any.
Then you're not the flu.
It's not the flu. Right. But I never get the flu. I get pneumonia and bronchitis.
Jeremy gets sick, too.
But the thing is, every time I used to get bronchitis and all that, I used to always take antibiotics. But even now, antibiotics don't work. Only thing I got to be careful is the cough, right? Is the lingering cough. But my body will beat it. And within 2 days, I mean, this before you left, I was sitting there all fucked up. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, I feel great. Yeah. And then that night, I got sick again. But my body naturally just fights it off.
I think it's lifestyle.
And it builds an immunity.
I think it's lifestyle, too.
I drink a lot of alcohol.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So I think it's lifestyle, too, is because it kills it. Yeah. I'm an old school parent.
I think that's why my flu lasted two days. I'm not kidding with you. I had the flu like 2 weeks ago. And I was, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Swimming this, you little virus bastards. Hey, we'll have Bella and Laurel have to come up and show you their cough. Because they see Jägermeister and they know that cough means they get a shot of Jägermeister.
Oh, wow.
Parent of the year over here.
Mother of the year.
That was my mom and my aunt that did that.
I'm going to have to delete that.
Multi-generational.
I'm going to have to remove that from the podcast. No.
Why? It's widely known.
CBS will be at your house.
It's widely known.
Yeah. Good luck.
Let's move on.
Let's get into this. All right. So we're going to move on to obviously we've been talking about Trump, but again, he had a few wins this week that need to be mentioned because now, before I get into
it, some losses too this week.
Let's go talk. We'll talk about that. I'll let you bring up the losses. But one of the things that he does this week, oh my God. So CPAC, right? The yearly conservative convention of prominent conservatives. He went out there and he was a keynote speaker. And again, this was right after the Democratic debate. And if you guys remember what happened at the Democratic debates, Mike Bloomberg got his ass handed to him because Elizabeth Warren went after him and just basically called him out on all those NDAs that he has against women who can't speak, who are muzzled to speak on the things that he did against them. He settled in court and blah, 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 blah. So Trump gives his assessment of the whole situation. And he does it in Trump style. And I'm going to play this for you.
But she went out and she said, oh, this guy's killing me. Remember, she was dropping like a rock. But I learned something. Never do it too early. A year and a half before the election, I said, what am I doing? I should have saved it. But that's all right. But she had those burning embers and then she started. But ultimately, she failed. She's gone, so. But she was really mean to Minnie Mike. I'll tell you, the way she treated him.
Minnie Mike.
He didn't know what hit him. He's going, oh, get me off of this stage. Get me off. Get me off.
I mean, don't get me wrong.
That's not presidential.
That's straight bullying, but that's okay.
Why is it bullying?
Okay, guys. He's making fun of his height.
As a short person.
So what?
As a short person, I approve this message.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you. Jesus, why do you have
to play that again?
This guy's killing me. Remember, she was dropping like a rock. But I learned something. Never do it too early. A year and a half before the election, I said, what am I doing? I should have saved it. But that's all right. Because she had those burning embers, and then she started. But ultimately, she failed. She's gone, so. But she was really mean to Minnie Mike. I'll tell you, the way she treated him. He didn't know what hit him. He's going, oh, get me off of this stage. Get me off.
That's terrible. And I love his look, but he crouches behind the podium.
He's imitating a short person behind the mic. Oh my god!
But then he just looks at the crowd like, okay, like you're right. Like I love whenever he's looking for that applause, he always gives that like look to the crowd like. You better fucking clap, bitches. He does do that every time, and he's got that look. He's like,
if he was not the president, every comedian in the world would be in love with this man.
They were in love with this guy before he started running.
Every rapper rapped about him. Every comedian, he was a fucking Al Sharpton and what's his name? The other black
Jesse Jackson
guy. What's his name? Jesse Jackson. Both of these guys praised this man when before he ran for president. The black community gave him awards. But get the fuck out of here. You know, they're liars. Now, here's another thing. And this is what I'm going to say. This is his wins, dude. He had a series of wins in the courts. One of them was the whole sanctuary city thing where he came out and said, look, I'm going to withhold funds from these sanctuary cities. Guess what? Court ruled. Trump administration can withhold funds from these sanctuary cities. That's a big win. That's a big win. And here's another one again. And this is where the Democrats were trying to get him again on that whole during the impeachment things. Remember how they said corruption or what was it? Obstruction of justice, where they were calling him. And so he went to the courts. And the court said, hey, the former White House counsel, Don McGahn, does not have to testify. He won in the courts. And again, this is what the Democrats came after him about, because he didn't want certain people who served under his administration to testify. And so the Democrats were saying this is obstruction of justice. But during that time, he took it to the courts, and the courts just came back and said, hey, you know what? These people don't have to testify. A win for Trump.
Yep.
Here's the third one, and this is a big one, that Democrats should be praying.
Yeah, that nobody brought this up, by the way. Nobody's talked about this. This has been kept real quiet.
Well, this is important because the Ukraine just opened up an investigation on Joe Biden and the role he played in firing that Ukrainian official who was investigating. Now, Devin Nunes. Again, he's part of the White House, was part of the White House counsel. He has come out and said, hey, if we win back the House, they already have lined up everything that they want to do to investigate the role that Joe Biden played in because this is corruption, dude. This is that whole when his son was in the a director under that Ukrainian gas company. And he was under investigation, and Joe Biden goes in and Joe Biden was a vice president at that time. And he's bragging about this. And he says, hey, I went to that prosecutor and I said, you're going to get this guy fired.
Yeah.
Or we're going to hold some funds. And he was bragging about it. And son of a bitch, you know, they fired him. And so, but he's going to be investigated. And Ukraine just opened up that investigation. So the Democratic Party would be dumb to select Joe Biden, who will be under investigation for this type of for the corruption that he was involved in during that time.
You know, plus the example or the precedent they just set with this whole go after Trump for whatever little thing he can find. If he gets elected president, even if he does, which he won't, but if he does get elected president, the House with this new precedent, the House can just turn around and say, "All right, well, we're impeaching you now for being Mr. Russian."
So people are dumb. They're not paying attention. everything the Democrats are doing, they're trying to pin because everything's coming out, right? And when you look at all this, everything that they're going after Trump on is really the shit that they were behind. You know, the Russian hoax and all that. Okay, who screwed up the DNC and screwed Bernie?
Yep.
That was Trump. All supposed to be tied to Russia. They got involved and apparently meddled. It was confirmed, but nobody talks about that. Hillary Clinton got caught out with the whole when she was in the State Department. That major fucking
Benghazi.
Last I checked, if you're not guilty, first of all, we're in IT, guys. Last I checked, when you get rid of a drive, you're not fucking fucking destroying them with Clorox bleach and everything. You know what you're doing with that? You are making sure that nobody can do a forensic investigation and get a goddamn thing on that. You know who does shit like that? Guilty people. But we don't talk about that. We don't talk about that.
You better be careful. You're going to be suicided.
We don't talk about that. We don't. Okay.
I know people.
Except Jeremy.
I know people. No.
Yeah. All right. For what was going on.
I've never done a wipe on a drive. I've had dozens of hard drives in my IT career, right? I've never wiped a drive. Personally, I do wipe my ass.
You don't put bleach on it.
Sometimes he does.
Sometimes I get that not so fresh feeling. And Tim has left the building. Right, Tim is done.
And on that note,
we lost him.
See, this is the part of the Salty Show we need to get back into—the part where we make so much
Tim
comedy that Tim loses it.
Somebody almost got a vodka shower.
You got that one.
That was close.
But anyways, I know people that are—they're very serious about IT security. A friend of mine, he owns his own business. He does this sort of thing, and he is the top priority is always security. And I'm willing to bet that he does the DOD 7-time wipe on any drive
I'm
that he
okay
ever gets.
I'm okay with that. Okay. But you put Clorox bleach on the motherfuckers. Okay. All right.
Well, that's a little excessive,
After they subpoena that.
That's just a felony, and she should have been thrown in.
That's what I'm saying.
Jeremy, they tell her, we need the server. We need this drive. We need this stuff. And she's okay, cool. And she hands over that stuff. And then they're like, hey, there's some stuff missing because we see some correspondence here, 30,000 emails. And she said, oh yeah, that's been destroyed.
She's fucking guilty as hell. There's no question in my mind.
That's what I'm saying. So you get that. You get the DNC stuff, and that's confirmed that Russia fucked with all that and screwed Bernie, which doesn't matter to me, but still, you know what I mean?
You think Russia fucked Bernie or Hillary fucked Bernie?
Russian meddling, yeah. But anyway,
Russia exposed it. Hillary did it.
Yeah, that's right.
So how does that make it Russia's fault? If Russia exposes Hillary for doing it, how is that Russia's fault?
What I'm saying is all these hoaxes and everything they're trying to say Trump is doing is really them trying to cover them up by pinning it on him, because if he gets out, you can't expose. But if he stays in, he's coming after them. 2020, sure. If he gets reelected.
He will.
I got to use the word if. We can't be cocky, but I'm pretty sure he's getting in. But if he wins the election.
I'm going to talk about that.
He wins the election, they're fucked.
Good.
He is going after everybody. And something else came out today. I don't know how valid it is, but, you know, when there's smoke, there's fire. You remember that whole college scam that happened last year with Lori Loughlin and all those people pay?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's a certain family that is involved
I know these
in this.
People.
There's a certain family
I know them.
Called the Obamas. They're the girl's tennis coach. He was arrested
for doing this.
Yeah, $3.2 million, and holy apparently they're linked. Shit. There's news that they're linked to, you know, paying him off to, you know, do all this shit. So.
Telling you, more suiciding happening.
I'm just saying. I mean, I read that today. I don't know how valid it
is. About to drop.
You're saying the Obamas could be ending up in jail next to Lori Loughlin?
Oh, no. Presidents don't go to jail. They don't go to jail. They're above
it. He's not going to go to jail.
He's not going to jail. Lori Loughlin's going to go to jail. Right. But anyway.
So going on Aunt what Becky. The potential that Trump has on winning, I'm going to show you a few clips here, and I'm going to describe them for the listener, but more proof again that Trump is more popular than we think. But again, like Tim says, let's not get too cocky about this, because if you don't go out and vote, he's not going to win. Now, I follow this, and I think I've shown you some of their posts on from Instagram. I follow this this site, it's called Hood's Finest, and these guys are not,
they're awesome.
They are not a conservative page. These guys are as liberal as they come. Now, they post something that says, Trump says the coronavirus is Democratic new hoax. and so again,
put it on the screen.
They post this saying, and somebody says, oh, sorry, guys. And so they post this saying, you know what? And they're making fun of him. This guy's serious. Obviously, he didn't say guys. I'm not going to say it on the podcast. But then if you look at every single comment that responds to this post, again, this is a liberal page, right? This is not conservative. Every single post, and you see, I've liked them. They've come out and basically supporting Trump. And let me read some of these. He said the Democrats making it political is the hoax, not the virus itself, right? They're fake. And again, these people are saying fake news. He never said this. Y'all liberals just make this shit up, right? Look at this, man. A lot of the, okay, but he didn't say that. Stop trying to twist shit. This is a liberal page. Right. That posted this. Let me take you to their site where these guys don't post anything about Trump. And the first thing they post about Trump, people are calling him out on the lie and saying, hey guys, you guys don't have to lie about this. Trump never called this a hoax. This is not true. Trump called the Democrats' approach to this and blaming him the hoax.
All right. So what we were talking about earlier in the week, this is fake news, right? So this should be pulled off the internet. Boom. Twitter, or whoever should be pulling this off.
I mean, it should be pulled for derogatory statements.
Well,
now here's another one.
Okay,
this is a big
Charlie
one.
Kirk,
a lifelong Democrats that are leaving the party. Okay, and this is again a black conservative. February was Black History Month, and this guy comes out supporting President Donald Trump, a lifelong Democrat. And I want you to hear what he says.
I'm Jack Brewer, former NFL player, currently a professor at Fordham Gabelli School of Business. I just had the most amazing opportunity. I met President Trump right here in the White House, in the Oval Office. And I got to tell you, as a lifelong Democrat, I ran the NFL Players for Obama for years. And I always wanted policies that helped and served the black community. I've worked tirelessly all my life to go into the inner cities and work on programming to address fatherhood issues and fatherlessness. And this president has truly, truly empowered me. Seeing him pass the First Step Act, seeing him go into our communities and pass all these policies that are creating jobs for our people, bringing our fathers out of prison, and going into our communities like with the opportunity zones has really been amazing. I can't tell you how just motivated I am to continue to work and press forward to help empower underserved black communities across this country. Thank you, Mr.
But
President.
But Bernie Sanders wants to teach them how to grow marijuana and create marijuana businesses. That's again, Bernie's words, not mine. Again,
here's another video. But let me show you this one. Did you guys saw this one, right? The one I sent you guys?
No.
Yeah, there was it was in Spanish or something.
He's saying if you're Hispanic, you gotta vote for this president. Every Democrat is lying to you. The guy has got a truck.
Pickup truck.
He's got a pickup.
SUV. It's an SUV.
It's lifted. And he's got Donald Trump on the side of his door with 2020 on it. And he's yelling. And he's in Spanish saying, you got to support this president. If you're a Democrat, if you're Hispanic, if you're black, you got to support this president. Don't believe the lies of the Democratic Party. This is... My man, I'm telling you, we never saw this for George Bush.
Wait, what's that? Was that Nelson?
We never saw this.
So let me tell you something while you bring that up. That is the complete opposite of what happened to you at our favorite bar, where that girl was in your face saying you're a disgrace to your race.
Yep.
You know, and to your color. I couldn't believe that, but anyway.
I'm like, oh my God, is this real? And then by the time I made it to the airport, they sent me a link from the White House that had my name up on the board, and it showed. I just started hyperventilating right there in the airport. They had to go get me a wheelchair. I was crying. They thought someone had died. What the president did for me on my birthday was set me free. It's kind of almost like when they say a person that's, you know, born, when you give your life to Christ, you're born again. It was like on my birthday, that was my new birthday. I was born again. So now there is nothing that can be held over my head anymore. I don't have to endure people calling me a felon. I just don't have to walk around with that label. So this is a new life for me. President Donald Trump has always been very active in the Black community. To him, it's important to see us advance because he truly cares. In contrast with the Obama administration, we have hundreds of thousands of people in prison right now serving life without parole for nonviolent crimes. These are the people that Obama left behind, and these are the people that Trump is letting free. If nobody else is grateful for what this administration has done for Black America, I am. And if nobody else will say thank you, let me be the first one to tell this administration how grateful I am for what they are doing for Black America. You know, everybody's just not born into the perfect situation. And just like we have people at the border that are willing to risk it all to have a better life. Sorry. We have people right here that are willing to risk it all just to have a better life. Everybody's not born with opportunity. And so that's another reason why I love what this president is doing for not just Black America, but for America, period. The fact that he's willing to put America first, because we have so many of our own people here that are struggling. We have our own children in cages. I work with them every day. Juvenile detention centers across America are filled with children that just did not have opportunity, and they make bad decisions because they don't have the proper guidance. If you don't have someone to show you, then 9 times out of 10, you're gonna make a bad decision. Even being released from prison 15 years ago, coming home with nothing more than a $25 check and a bus ticket and being told to start my life over, I endured so much and I went through a lot. Coming home a single mother and a convicted felon. I had been denied job after job because of my past. I was so low at the bottom that I really wanted to take my own life. Being released with nowhere to go, I was going from shelter to shelter until we ended up maxing out. And then eventually I found help at a women and children's crisis center, where I walked in and my godmother, Alveda King, was sitting behind the desk. I had no idea, and I kind of just cried my heart out to her that day because I knew that we had nowhere else to go. She said that if you're serious about getting your life together, she said, I'll help you. And she gave me a job that day. And so for the past 15 years, I've been working in my community. I've been doing everything I possibly can to rebuild my life. And if it had not been for her, I know that I would be somewhere dead right now. This lady really saved my life. And the only thing that she has ever asked of me is that I be to someone else who she was to me. If I had one message for President Trump, the first thing that I would say is thank you. The second thing I would say is God bless you. Then I would go on to tell him to continue the fight. Don't let the haters stop you, because there are a lot of people out there like me that truly need you, love what you are doing, appreciate you, and will fight for you until the death of them. President Trump, we got your back, and you got you a real writer on your team this time. Trump forever.
That's a powerful video. Now, this is not the only Black women, man.
Those sisters are great.
People from the Black community who are coming out vocally supporting the president. Here's another one who spoke at CPAC this week, and this is another woman that Trump pardoned, part of the First Step Act, and great speaker. She came out. She spoke at CPAC, and she did a great job. And I'm going to play this one for the listeners. Again, this is at CPAC.
And she said that when she saw my story, that she tweeted out, this is so unfair. And by the way, I had no idea who Kim Kardashian West was. I had to get pictures and ask people to show me who she looked like, because I had figured that since her lawyer contacted me, I had my daughter Google Sean Holly, And I saw the Jenners and Kardashians were some of her clients. And so I thought it was Kris Jenner. I said, I got it. My daughter said, what if it's Kim Kardashian West? And I said, Kim who? And anyway, the rest became history. Kim reached out to Ivanka Trump, who showed my case, notified her husband, Jared Kushner. They had assembled a team of lawyers, attorneys from every coast, and they called themselves Team Alice. Ivanka and Jared became a part of Team Alice. And on my birthday, May 30th, Kim got an audience with President Donald Trump. 7 days later, the world watched as I ran across the street, and you watched it too in the Super Bowl ad, and rejoined my family. The president's heart was touched when he saw my case. I became the face of the need for a broken criminal justice system to be fixed. I became a face of compassion, of redemption, of grace, and of second chances, because that is what this country has been built upon.
I'm telling you, man, we did not see this under George Bush.
It was the opposite.
We did not. And so this is why I think the tide is turning. Now, it's not just black people who are coming out and supporting this Trump vocally. I want to show you this video of a Hispanic restaurant who is now facing some backlash. Because the woman, it's a couple, they own this Mexican restaurant south of Phoenix, between Phoenix and Tucson.
What's the name of it? Because Trump tweeted about a Mexican restaurant today.
It's called.
Oh, so this is the restaurant?
This is the restaurant.
He did tweet out about it. Okay, so this is the one.
He did tweet about it. It's called, the report, the news report, says the name. And honestly, like when I go out there, I'm going to make an effort to go out there.
I want to go. Yeah.
Because I want to check it out now. Because they're facing some backlash, right? Because people are now, you know, on Yelp going in and giving them bad reviews. They're, you know, everything that people, haters, you know, who've never probably eaten there, who just hate the fact that they support the president, both her and her husband. And again, these are immigrants into the United States, Hispanic, and you're going to hear their accent. These are not, you know, second, third generation Hispanics. These are first generation Hispanics who come out here to the country and they realize that, hey, the Democratic Party is sounding a lot like the shit that we left.
About a week ago, they stood behind the president at his rally in Phoenix.
Every single rally he has had in Phoenix, either she goes or I go, or sometimes we both go. This time we decided that we both wanted to go.
A decision would hurt them in the coming days.
Very bad.
Betty's face circled and posted to Facebook, calling her out for attending.
People recognize her being on, you know, at the rally. They circle her face around her picture and they say, oh, this is the lady, you know, that owns Sammy's Mexican Grill.
Negative comments continued on their Facebook page. Jorge says they've even been getting numerous phone calls in response.
It's called Sammy's Mexican Grill.
You guys are name calling, you know, real, you know, you're racist, you're evil, you're the worst of the worst.
The two are being called out for being immigrants themselves, something that's come up once before when they experienced more hate after the 2016 Trump rally.
When we started seeing those comments on Facebook and Google, we said, there we go, you know, it's starting again.
Online commenters say they should be leaving politics out of their business, but the Rivas say it's their right of free speech.
We feel that it is very important for every person to say, this is what I stand for. And in our case, we are Republicans. We are behind the president.
With no plans of getting out of the kitchen, no matter how bad the heat.
I came to this country for the freedoms, and I'm going to stand by it.
I did speak to one customer earlier who told me that after seeing some of the pro-Donald Trump decor, he's not going to be returning. But the Rivas say they're not going to change and will continue to stand behind their beliefs. In Catalina, Carly Kinsley, KOLD News 13, Live Local, Late Breaking.
So people do forget, you know, if you're gonna hate on Republicans and conservatives, I mean, they tend to have more money than a lot of Democrats. So,
well, I mean, I don't know about that.
You know what I'm saying? You know, I'm joking around, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah,
but
people are going to go out there and support them because, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to go to that restaurant.
I want to go out there and support them now. We're going to go this weekend. That's right. We're going to take the girls and we're going to go. We're going to hop in the truck and be like hillbilly said, showing up to like the fucking restaurant wearing a MAGA shirt.
President Trump comes out and tweets his support for them. He says the food is great at Sammy's Mexican Grill. He said Phoenix, but
yeah, he said it's in Phoenix, but it's not.
Congratulations to Betty and George doing a wonderful job.
Jorge. I'm going to try to...
He said, I'm going to try to stop by.
Yeah, right.
And the same thing. I'm going to try to stop by when I visit Phoenix, man. Because you got to support who support the press. What?
Let me tell you what's going to happen. If all of a sudden they turn around and saying, I'm having issues with my business or whatnot, you know what's going to happen. He's going to have some event and he's going to have a million dollar event and he's going to have them cater the food. I guarantee. Just because if they wind up hurting, you know what I'm saying? But that tweet alone, you know how many people are probably going to go out there now? Just because that support them are going to go and say, you know what? If they support them, fuck them. Yep. If they're going to lose 100 customers, they're going to gain 1,000 customers and we'll purposely go out there a couple times to have food to help support the cause. So, because that's what we do. We support our own.
The one more video I'm going to show. Again, the tides are changing. And this is an important video. This is from Florida. Now, predominantly in Florida, it is the Cuban community that is strong out there. Okay.
Yeah.
Now most of the Cubans who are out there, they know socialism. They know communism. They fled it. Their family fled it. And this talk from Bernie Sanders, especially when he fucking honeymooned in Russia. The same goddamn party who was fucking saying Russia, 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 is about to elect a guy who fucking honeymooned in Russia. Okay? Now, here is the Hispanic community out in Florida, Cubans, who are celebrating Trump. And again, I'm sorry for the listener, but just to describe it for you, it is literally a caravan of cars that are waving the Trump flag and celebrating Trump.
That's beautiful, man. I'm not going to lie. That's beautiful.
These are Latinos.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I think it's beautiful.
And they're all waving Trump flags, Cuban flags, American flags. Venezuelan flags.
Isn't that Puerto Rico? The one with the...
No, the blue is Cuban.
No, that was Venezuela, though.
I thought the one star one...
See, that's the thing, man. See, something is happening in the country right now. And lines are being drawn, okay? There's people who know what communism is, what socialism is. The party, the Democratic Party, is slowly becoming the Socialist Party of America. And Cubans know this talk. They know this language. And they're saying, no, we don't want this shit. And what's sad about this, and you guys are in the Southwest. I'm from the Southwest. And that's one of the things that makes me sad about Hispanics who don't support the president, is because he's come out against this communism mentality that has gripped Latin America, right? It's this idea that government's going to take care of you. Government does not take care of you. Government needs to get out of the way because you can take care of yourself. Give me the right to exist freely, right? But people are so easily bought from, you're going to be taken care of. You're going to have your hospital bills paid for. You're going to have this paid for. You're going to have that paid for. We have to get out of this mentality because when you give up that freedom, if America gives up that, where do we go to? Where?
I'm going to go to the Caribbean.
Get the fuck out of here, man. There's nowhere else to go.
But let me ask you this. You guys we're all intelligent people. And I think this is very beautiful because you know what? You're seeing it firsthand by people that have been through it. Yeah. And when they hear certain things, they're standing up. They came to this country for a reason. I had this conversation with my buddy earlier. We were born here, so we know only America. People are coming here for a reason. Yes, some come for the freebies, but a lot of people are coming for the freedoms from the oppressions that they had. So a lot of these countries, Cuba, even before Castro took over, they weren't democratic. They were still ruled by kind of totalitarian, but it wasn't as bad as this, yep. You know, as what Castro did, you know? Castro sold them, I'm going to take care of you. And they bought into it. And then look what he did. It gave them worse than what they were revolting against. But let me ask you this. Let's say Bernie Sanders wins, right? but you no, hold on. Bernie Sanders wins presidency, but you have a conservative House. Or a conservative Senate. How can he pass anything? You can't. You will never be able to get communism and socialism fully in this country, because we do have socialism. We always talk about that. We can't say that we're 100% capitalist because we do have socialistic programs here, right? But what I'm saying is Bernie Sanders will never be able to do the things that he's saying to do as president, because what is he going to do, an executive order for everything? You know what the Congress can do? Have the military take his ass out. They could do a, you know, it, look, yep. this violates our Constitution. This violates the human, you know, American right. They can. It's never happened, but I'm pretty sure if Bernie Sanders got elected president, you know what's going to happen? Eventually, he's going to get his ass booted out. He'll make history of being the first president that actually was removed from office because he violates what this country's about. Just, I don't think it'll ever fully happen yet.
Yep.
That's my fear, is he's the beginning. So he's just talking and he's getting the people rallied. I don't think, maybe towards the end of our lives, we might see a big change towards this in the country. But what my hope is, these little dum-dums that are being indoctrinated by these principles, that when it doesn't happen and they go into the real world, get a job, start making money and going, oh, wait a minute, I'm making money now. I don't want 52% of my income going towards, because my company pays for that. I'm not paying 52%. I have my freedoms. And that's what the hope is, because a lot of us growing up, when I say a lot of us, myself included, maybe not you guys, but a lot of people when they're younger have liberal views.
Yeah.
They're a little bit more gung-ho, like, oh, let people do it. But why are people, all these crotchety religious white people, blah, 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 blah. Everybody says the same narrative. You get older and you start, wait a minute, hold on. I get it. It doesn't make sense. Because you give them an inch, they take a foot. And that's what these extreme policies are on both sides. You give an inch, they take a foot. So you need that middle ground on both sides. Because you know what? They are the balance of this country. The middle class, and the middle class is balanced between conservative and Democrats. I don't even want to use the word liberal. Because to me, liberal is becoming extreme. You know what I mean? But you have the So you have that the traditional Democrat, right? Where, they don't want their money going towards all this shit. Free college? No. Free healthcare? No. You want to have 15, you know, 100 different, you know, labels for your, sex, whatever. It doesn't affect me, right? Well, hold on. It doesn't affect you now. But later on, where all of a sudden you let some of these principles go, where now, you give too much, if you mislabel something, you're going to jail now. That's a fine. Wait, what? Yeah, you got to be accept it, but now you have to tolerate it, but now we own it. You know what I mean? Got to have balance. I accept everything that goes on. I don't care. But when you start yelling at me because I didn't say something right, stop. Because I've been corrected a few times. Like, oh, no. I'm not trans. I'm non-binary. I'm like, I don't know what the fuck that means. I don't know. Because there was a major video that just,
you're cisgendered.
But again, I just don't. I'm not fully educated in the whole thing. But I'm like, so I'm not binary. But I'm like, you don't want to say with being a boy or a man or a female, and you're trying to say, well, it's all determined by colors and everything else. And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. I'm like, I don't even know how to answer it and go, okay, like you know what I mean? Like it, I don't know how somebody can be labeled like just because you don't associate, but like if you have a dick and you like pussy, part of my language, I'm getting graphic because I've been drinking. But like if you're a man and you like if you have male man parts and like female parts, but you say, well, I don't associate with either, but I only like going into that one hole. Okay, well, you're a man. No, I'm not a man. I don't know how to end it. I'm trying to understand the logic to be not supportive, but just not misgender them, right? Because, you know, be respectful.
Misgender.
Well, I try to be respectful as much as I can. But when people give me that shit, I'm like, it doesn't logically, I'm trying to find the logic in what confused. You're trying to say.
I'm confused by that whole argument.
There's a major video trending right now about a guy really upset about he can't get they can't get a haircut because they're non-binary and they don't know where to go, and it's not fair because they don't associate with going to a barber and they don't associate going to a salon. So I'm really confused on, you can go to Great Clips, they cut everybody's hair in there. You know what I'm saying?
That is a bunch of bullshit.
Oh, dude, this All video? Right. This
that
video,
is complete bullshit. That is just video, someone making a problem out of nothing just so they can get the attention
But when you look at
idiot.
When you look at them, you're like, oh my God, like go get a job and just go make something in your yourself. You know what I mean? You're worried about something.
He's a piece of he is a piece of shit. Or she is a piece of shit. She needs to fucking start a shotgun.
No, but then when they do that, then it's like this drives.
Look, I'm gonna close out this segment, and we called it the Trump winning session. So there's one more thing, and Heidi, I'm gonna hand it off to you to the Crazy Chronicles. But before we go on, one interesting thing, and now again, it's my adopted state in Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania right now, and it's been a blue state since '92, back in Clinton. And has been blue for a long time until this last election. Now, there's certain things that are happening in Pennsylvania that are a microcosm of something that could happen to the entire state, which is good news for Trump, which is right now, a small town or a small township in Pennsylvania called Rostrover. I think that's how you pronounce it. It's south of Pittsburgh. There's a number of politicians who turned over. They turned from being Democrat to Republican and basically turned that whole area into a Republican area now. These are people who were previously Republican, previously Democrat, who are now Republicans. And this is, again, in Pennsylvania, a consistently blue state since '92. And I'm not going to read the article, but just so you know that this is happening. And it's not just in Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania, again, a consistently blue state. New Mexico.
Look at Minnesota.
Another blue state. Another blue state. New Mexico also had politicians that are now switching over to the Republican Party. And something that happened this week that the news media, if it would have been the other way around, they would have been playing this over and over again. But they had a special election in Kentucky. And the Republicans just flipped a seat from being,
Democrat
over to Republican after 33 years. After 33 years of Democrat stronghold, it is not. This is huge, dude. And this is something that's happening in places that are not, that haven't been Republican strongholds. So something is happening in the country. It's shifting. And this is why you see the mainstream media in high gear right now. They are trying to find anything to make this president look bad. And this is, you have to use
economy.
You have to look at it through this scope of what the media's intention is and the narrative that they're trying to play. And that's why they're going to play this whole coronavirus thing until the sun, you know what I mean? Like until... You know what I'm saying? They're going to play it forever until they can win an election, basically.
I hear you.
Now, I'm going to leave it there. This is a lot of stuff that's happened this week where Trump is winning. And I know, Tim, I'm going to let you speak, but I want to get to the Crazy Chronicles and we want to close this out. Go ahead.
So one of the main things real quick before we close it out, as you're talking about this, there's two very strong candidates, one in Minnesota. I forget her name because I'm just terrible with names, but she's running against Ilhan Omar, right? She is a Muslim immigrant, right? She's a refugee, right? And she's come out and even said publicly on Twitter and every faction, okay, Ilhan, you know, however you say it, I'm just like you. I'm a refugee. I'm a woman. I'm Muslim. And a couple other things. Let's talk Turkey. Yeah, her. Okay, she's she's Iraqi, right?
Iraqi refugee.
Yeah, talking turkey. Let's talk turkey and let's talk. Ilhan Omar will not respond to her. She will not respond to questions about it because this one's going, you can't tell me like I'm not a white American. I'm exactly like you. So you can't use those talking points. And crickets, dude. And she's making headways. The other person, Eric Early, San Francisco, going up against Schiff. And his campaign video is beautiful. He's like, thank you, Adam Schiff. Thank you for all the things that you are not getting done in your area. And he shows, oh, you can't, Russian hoax. You wasted how much money and time on that? How much on this? He's in the homeless communities all over Northern California interviewing all these people. And they're all going, they ain't doing nothing. He's like, thank you, Adam Schiff. Thank you. It's beautiful.
Yep.
So there's a major red wave coming in a lot of these areas, I think, because they're going out to these communities, talking to them, saying, what is he doing for you? And they're going, nothing. Well, you need to vote. And I will help build this up because look at what's going on with this, and this. Yep. They're not ready for this. Yep. They are not ready because they are sitting there trying to get him out of office instead of trying to clean up their area and do something good, what they're supposed to do. I'm going to leave it on that because there's a lot we can go on and on about. So,
Heidi, what do you got for the Crazy Chronicles? Everybody get your states ready.
get your states
the state.
Ready.
Guess the state.
I got some
Florida,
states ready.
Florida, 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 Florida.
You can't just pick Florida every time.
Yeah, you just can't do that.
I can because most of the time it's Florida.
High on love.
California.
This man was accused. High on love is the headline of this.
Okay.
This man is accused of hiding marijuana in a box of Valentine's Day chocolates.
What? Ooh, North Dakota.
Nothing says I love you like a box of drugs. Deputies arrested this gentleman after a tip from a United States Marshal Service that says he was hiding drugs in a heart-shaped chocolate box.
Oh, no.
Well,
I'm going to go and say, Michigan.
Colorado.
Kentucky.
All right. And drum roll, it is Florida.
God damn it! God damn it, I was right!
In Poppy's County. Poppy was raised in this county, Hardy
County.
You know
what? That's two for Timmy. That's two for two times. You know why? Because I said Florida before it even started.
So the first time he got it right, he knew the answer because he talked to his boss about it. The second time, he went with the obvious answer.
Smoke weed every day. Yeah! All these brothers, all these hoes here.
Okay,
so all
right, Here we go. Are you ready? Man arrested after his best-selling jerky is found to be made of human meat.
What?
That's Michigan. Disgusting.
Oklahoma.
Michigan.
No,
Arkansas.
Michigan.
Wait, where's the ding, 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 ding?
Man arrested after his best-selling jerky is found to be made of human meat.
Play the banjo, please.
South Carolina. I don't have the banjo. South Carolina.
What? Montana.
I was close. I said Arkansas.
So I do
Arkansas
have to tell you.
Is not close to Montana.
I'm going to take my clothes off. Oh, wait, what?
No, you're not.
Yeah. You're going to become turkey. Make it. I'm sorry.
This poor. So I have to go a little further into this particular article because I did a little more research on it. So this poor 72-year-old man that has been running his store, so he owns the store for the past 35 years, and he's been doing a wonderful job, and he has this special distinctive jerky that he sells that people love, and they go to him just to get this jerky that he does. Apparently, it's his own little
we're still on the
recipe
jerky
and everything else. Yes. So come to find out, somebody took a lot of time to put this article out there, and it turns out to be fake news.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yes. They busted. Ruined this poor. Yeah. So, I mean, this. So my heart kind of went out to him.
Ruined this guy's life. They ruined this guy's life. He's like,
so,
I didn't do that.
Is he allowed to sue them for libel and slander?
I would totally think that. Yes. I would think so.
That's
I would
straight
think
like.
So because you're talking like, yeah, this poor 72-year-old man, 72, here he is, and some asshole goes out there and puts his shit out there.
You know, if I was that 72-year-old man, you know what I would do? I wouldn't sue him. I'd fucking put a bullet right between his eyes.
Whoa,
fucking piece of shit.
You can't do that.
You know, I know you can't do that, but like, you would want to do that. You ruined my fucking life.
Yeah,
like, fuck
absolutely.
You. You deserve not to be alive because you're an evil person.
Yes.
You're an evil person.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. All right, Timmy. Next up on my articles here, I found the new dog collar that you need to get Rocco.
I guarantee I know what it is.
Do you really?
Maybe.
So it's a special collar that you put on your dog, and every time the dog barks, it turns the bark into a cuss word. What? So the dog actually starts like throwing out cuss words.
I want that. you can buy it for Rocco.
I know what's going for Christmas.
Yeah. His birthday's in October.
New,
so you can get it for
the
new
years. Dog collar turns your dog's barks into cuss words.
Does it actually stop the bark, or does it just let the dog bark and then cuss afterwards?
Who cares? All I can see is Rocco running around going,
"Surprise, motherfucker!"
Your dog.
I mean, you walked him. So funny story, real quick about Rocco, right? So I had to leave him home one day. I forget why. I think the place where I take him to was closed. So I'm like, "Hey, Nelson, can you do me a favor? Can you just stop by the house and walk him?" He goes, sure. So he winds up sending me a text, and he's like, he takes a picture of Rocco walking. He's like, every bush, my dog literally full, like not even a drip, like full piss on every bush he sees. He's got to pee on every single bush. He's like, bro, he's like, what is wrong?
This is his dog at every
Jesus.
every bush.
But seriously, but that's why I would love that collar.
The dog collar is sold out currently.
Oh, I want that.
It is such a hot item.
Like that dog, whenever my neighbors come walking by with their little shit dog or whatnot, like I don't know what it is. He like hair goes up on the back of his neck. And he's just like barking. Well,
this,
oh man.
This dog has pre-recorded words such as bullshit. Fuck you.
Oh, yeah. All Rocco would be saying is fuck you.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Fuck you. So, fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck
you. I thought that was awesome. All right. And last but not least, I'm going to put a shout out there to Florida because Samantha sent me this. She found it. And it says, she says that she doesn't typically like to make fun of people that are dying, but this one has something to say about it.
Oh, so, no. We don't make fun of people.
Man dies after being closed in a suitcase by his girlfriend.
What?
Oh.
They were playing hide and go seek.
She put the lock on his ass.
That's not really how you play hide and go seek.
You're supposed to put a look. No. Hey, I got one. I got a crazy chronicle, by the way.
She swears up and down they were playing hide and go seek. No, she has no idea how he got locked in that suitcase. No. And she woke up the next morning and found his body in the suitcase.
She woke up?
Yeah.
First of all, hide and go seek, and then I went to bed.
Let me tell you something. If the lock was on that motherfucker, yeah.
Because you'd be in jail.
So I got one. I don't know where the hell it is, but this dum-dum, Darwin almost struck again. This dum-dum was standing in front of a lion's cage, right?
Oh, yeah.
There was no glass, right? I sent it to you guys. This dude literally is like, fuck with the lion, and the lion's waiting. The dude like puts his hand out. The lion fucking chomped his fucking arm, dude. Darwin almost got another one. Yes. It was like over the like last couple of days. First of all, who puts their hand? Like, first of all, there's a sign that says, don't put your hand in the cage. The fact that you have to put a sign there is, you know, you are a lion. This ain't a house cat. This lion, like a ninja, bro. He was waiting. He sat in there like looking at him like, ooh, I'm going to eat your ass. Like, lion wasn't growling or, you know, whatever lions do. You know what I mean?
Where was
he
this at?
He just sat there.
Roar.
Wow. I don't know. At the video I sent you. But Darwin almost struck again, guys. I really wish he would have because that's not on me. That's on him.
No, that's on you because I can't find it anywhere. So.
I sent it to you, dum-dums. That shit was viral. That was viral, bro.
In 2018.
No, like literally this week. Look at the group text, you stupids.
It's recycled. Is that all you had, Heidi?
All right, we're going to close this out.
Yeah, she's done. Let's close this out. We've sucked today.
This for almost 3 hours now. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on this episode of The Salty Show. Find us on all the social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter.
Shout out to King Meme 69 on Instagram, making our memes now.
All right, give us a follow, hit that like button, and share some of the content. We will catch you all next time. Adios.
Bye.
Guten Tag.